If you would turn with me tonight to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. We're going to begin a new study tonight on the Word of God. And what we'll do to open each Wednesday night is read a section of Psalm 119. Once we get through the entire Psalm, then we'll pick other passages of Scripture if we do get through all of it. It depends on how long all this takes. But we'll start with going through Psalm 119, and we'll take it section by section. Psalm 119 is an acrostic. That means that each section of this psalm begins with a word that starts with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So I don't know how it's represented in your Bible, but maybe in your Bible as a sort of a heading, you might have something that says Aleph, Beth, Gimel, Daleth, maybe something like that you might have. So the opening eight verses of Psalm 119, the heading is Aleph. That's the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And so the psalm is structured in a very specific way so that the first letter of the first word of the first verse of that section begins with that letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And that's how the entire psalm is structured, and it goes all the way through the Hebrew alphabet from start to finish. It would be like our A to Z. It would sort of be like me writing a poem, and each stanza begins with a particular letter of the alphabet in order, from A to B to C, and so on. Psalm 119 is the psalm of the Word of God. It's the psalm of the law of God. It's the psalm of God's revelation. There are a number of different words that are used somewhat interchangeably to refer to God's law, God's word, God's statutes, his precepts. You'll see all these words getting mixed and used throughout this psalm, and you'll see that here in these first eight verses. And you could talk about this psalm from the perspective of that this is about the law of God, and you wouldn't be wrong to say that. You could talk about this psalm and say, this psalm is about the Word of God. And you wouldn't be wrong to say that, because they're used, as I said, somewhat interchangeably. So with that understanding, let's read the first eight verses of Psalm 119. Aleph, blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity, they walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity that we have to come and study the Word of God. We pray at the outset of our study on the Word of God that you would give us your blessing, that you would open our minds and our hearts to the Scriptures in a greater way. Lord, may you increase our faith in your Word. May you increase our love for your Word. And may you increase our obedience to your Word. May all these things, Lord, be done for your glory and for our good. In Jesus' name, amen. John Wesley once wrote, I want to know one thing, the way to heaven, how to land safe on that happy shore. God himself has condescended to teach the way. For this very end, he came from heaven. He has written it down in a book. Oh, give me that book. At any price, give me the book of God. I have it. Here is knowledge enough for me. Let me be homo unius libri. A man of one book. Mr. Wesley sums up what should be our attitude toward the Bible, toward the Word of God. We want to be a people of one book, a people whose lives, whose church revolves around God's written special revelation, the Bible. Mr. Wesley expresses, I think, the attitude that the psalmist has here in Psalm 119. He is absolutely in love with the Word of God. In so many different ways, he comes at it from so many different angles. For example, Psalm 119:97, he says, Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. And you could go all throughout Psalm 119 and find so many different examples of him expressing his desire for the Word of God, his longing to keep the law of God, his longing to have his life shaped by God's Word. We begin tonight our study of the doctrine of Scripture. And what we want to do in this study is study the Bible itself. Think about the Bible that sits in our lap every Wednesday night and every Sunday morning. How should we think about our Bible? Where did it come from? Why do we trust it? Why do we believe that it's the Word of God? We're going to try to answer those questions and more in this study. We're going to, most of all, explore what the Bible has to say about itself. The Bible has much to say about itself, and we can learn how God wants us to think about His Word as we study Scripture itself. So, we want to begin a study in the doctrine of Scripture. Now, why would I choose this particular topic to deal with? Well, it's for a number of reasons, and I'll give you some of those reasons here shortly. But first of all, the reason why we want to study the doctrine of Scripture is because everything, absolutely everything, comes back to the Bible, doesn't it? The Bible is our foundation. Why do we do what we do in our personal lives as Christians? Answer, the Bible. The Bible tells us to do this. The Bible tells us not to do that. Why do we do what we do here at the church? Who's to say we should do this versus that? Answer, the Bible. And you could come up with a number of questions like that, and the answer would go back to the Scriptures. The Scriptures are our rule for faith and practice. That means they are our standard for what we are to believe and how we are to live. So that's first and foremost. We want to study the doctrine of Scripture because it's our foundation. It's our very foundation. The Scriptures are like the foundation in a home, like the heart in a human body, like the hub of a wheel. Everything revolves around it, and all questions ultimately come back to, what does the Word of God say? What does the Bible say? Secondly, I want to study the doctrine of Scripture with you because I want to give you a greater knowledge and understanding of the Bible that sits in your lap. Now, you would think that here in America, with the access we have to resources and things that will help us understand the Bible, that you'd have a lot of experts on the Bible, and Christian people, church people, would be very, very knowledgeable about the Scriptures. But unfortunately, that's not always the case. Sometimes people don't know what it is they have sitting in their lap. They don't really know what it is, or they're confused about it, and maybe they don't know where it came from. Maybe they don't know why they trust it. Maybe if someone were to ask them, why do you believe the Bible is the Word of God? They might say, well, the preacher's just, he told me that. The preacher told me it's the Word of God, and I believe that. So I want to increase and help grow in my own life and in your life, your understanding of the Word of God, of how the Bible got from here to here, and why we believe that it is the Word of God, and why we trust it. Going right along with that, number three, I want to increase your confidence in the Bible. If your confidence is not already 100%, maybe it is, but maybe sometimes it gets challenged when you turn on the news and some talking head on the TV says, well, you know that thing in the Bible didn't really happen because of X, Y, and Z. And sometimes things like that happen and it shakes the faith of Christians because they believe the Bible is the Word of God, or they should, and they wonder about things. So I want to deal with some of those things so that you have the utmost confidence in your Bible and that you go to it without doubt, without being skeptical, without wondering, is this really God's Word? Should I really trust my life to this book? I want to increase your confidence in the Bible. Fourth, I want to help you in terms of apologetics. Now, I know that's a fancy word. That simply means how we defend our faith, how we defend or give a defense of our Christianity, and particularly here, why we believe the Bible is the Word of God. If you have not been challenged on why you believe the Scriptures are the Word of God and they should be believed and obeyed, at some point you probably will be challenged by a family member, by a coworker, a neighbor, someone who doesn't believe like you believe. And if they ask you the question, why do you live your life based upon a book? What will you say to them? What will be your defense of you living your life by the Bible? So I want to help you with that. I want to help all of us with that, to be able to give a proper defense of our faith in this book, the Scriptures. Fifth and finally, I want your love for the Bible to increase. By the end of our study, if your love for the Bible has not grown, I will have counted this a failure. I want your love for the Bible, your desire for the Bible, to increase. I want you to understand what it is, and all along, but at least by the very end of the study, to say, wow, I want to get into the book more. I want to read the Bible more. I want to meditate on it. I want to memorize it. I love the Scriptures, and I want to immerse myself in the Word of God. I hope that is your response to this study, and I hope that is the heartbeat that you have spiritually once we complete our study. Okay, so we're going to study the doctrine of Scripture, and we're going to cover 12 different areas. This is going to take a long time to do, but that's okay, because you're not in a hurry. You're not going anywhere, I don't think. I might lose you about between 3 and 4, but if I do, I'll come to your house and figure out where you are. Okay, this may take a little bit of time, and no, we're not going to cover all 12 of these things tonight. We won't do that. We're just going to talk about the first one, and we won't even get done with the first one completely, so we'll just touch on the beginnings of it. But I wanted you to know where we're headed, where we're going to start, and where we're going to end up. So let's just go through these topics briefly. And as I told Mitch and my kids earlier, it's unfortunate that they don't all end with T-I-O-N. That would have been really good, wouldn't it? Especially for preachers. But it didn't work out that way. So anyhow, these are the areas that we're going to talk about and focus on when it comes to the doctrine of Scripture. Number one, we're going to talk about organization. How is the Bible set up? Why is that important? And particularly, I want you to understand the history of it. Why does your Old Testament begin with Genesis, end with Malachi, and things like that? So we're going to talk about that a little bit tonight. Then secondly, we're going to talk about revelation. The Bible is revelation. It is God revealing himself to humanity in a special way, and so we're going to consider that topic. Number three, we're going to talk about inspiration. That is to say, the Bible is like no other book. It's inspired by God. It's been breathed out by God. That means it is his very word, and we'll deal with that. Number four, we'll talk about inerrancy. That means that the Bible is without error. There are no mistakes. There are no errors in the Bible. We'll talk about that and defend that idea. Number five, we'll talk about the authority of the Bible. When there's a conflict about what we should do, what we should believe, or how we should live, what is the final authority? Is it me? Is it the church? Who or what is it? It's the Word of God. It's the Bible. Then we'll talk in number six about authentication. How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? What is it that tells us that? And what is it that demonstrates the nature of Scripture as the Word of God? Number seven, perspicuity. Perspicuity. That's a fancy word for clarity. The Bible, in the main, in matters of salvation and how God wants us to live, is clear. You can understand the Bible. It's not some obscure book that's impossible for you to understand. It's clear. That's what perspicuity is about. Number eight is sufficiency. That is to say, the Bible's enough. We don't need the Bible plus my vision. We don't need the Bible plus my dream I had last night after I had too much pizza. We don't need the Bible plus the word of the prophet or the prophetess down the road. The Bible is sufficient to tell us how to live, what to believe. Number nine, transmission. The Bible was written way back here, right? In Greek, in Hebrew, in Aramaic. How did it get from there to here? We're going to try to understand the transmission process. How did the Bible get transmitted through history? Number 10, we're going to talk about translation. How do you get from those languages, those foreign languages, to the English translations that we have sitting in our lap? Number 11, we'll talk about interpretation. How should we understand the Bible? What is the meaning of any given verse, paragraph, book of the Bible? And then finally, application. After we go through all these things, it's incomplete if we don't talk about putting these things into practice in our own lives. God wants us to take his word and soak our minds and hearts in it that we actually might believe it and act accordingly. And so that's what we'll talk about, number 12 there, application. So those are the 12 different areas that we're going to cover. Buckle your seatbelt. Okay. Turn that just a little bit. Now, before we get into the first topic, which is organization, let me say a word about our method and process. What are you talking about, Pastor Nick? Okay, so here's what we want to do, right? We want to focus on the Bible. And from time to time in these studies, we're going to be out here talking about something. Or out here. And that might be language. We may talk about language. We may talk about the Greek language a little bit. We may talk about the Hebrew language some. Or we might be over here talking about history. Now, the reason why I wanted to say this at the outset is because some people might not like spending a lesson on a historical matter. They might come to church and feel like, well, I came to Bible study, Pastor Nick, and you didn't go verse by verse through a passage of Scripture, and that's what I expected, that's why what I wanted. You gave me a history lesson instead. You talked to me about language. You talked to me about papyrus and paper and goat skin and all that sort of stuff. Why did you do all that? And they might say, Pastor Nick, you just need to get back to the Bible. You're wasting my time with all this history and language and all this sort of thing. And that you might have that temptation yourself. You might say, Pastor Nick, why are you spending all this time on these kind of background sort of things? Well, I want you to understand why we're doing that, that it serves a purpose. This is our goal here, every time. This is our goal every single time, to understand and know the Scriptures better. But in order for you to understand and know the Scriptures better, you're going to have to do some of this. And you're going to have to do some of this. If you don't, and you take the attitude that says, I just need the Bible. That's all I need. I need the King James translation, English translation of the Bible. That's all I need. I don't need all this talk about history and manuscripts and all that sort of jazz. Now, some people may have that attitude, and it may sound good, might sound spiritual and pious, but unfortunately, if you do that, you're going to end up not really understanding this very well. It's going to lessen your knowledge and your understanding of that English translation, whether it's the King James Version or whatever version of the Bible that it may be. Now, think about this for just a minute. What are some things that you have to learn in order to learn the Bible? Just think about language. I'll give you a couple as you let your wheels turn there. Well, you're going to have to learn how to what? You're going to have to learn how to read, right? Now, the Bible's not necessarily going to teach you how to read. It could help. It could assist in that to a certain degree. But you're going to need to go to school, whether that's at home or at a brick house school building or something like that. You're going to need to learn how to read the English language. You're going to need to learn the meanings of words, things like that. So that's something outside the Bible that you need to understand and learn so that you can come back here and know this and know it rightly and know it better. Now, what about, forget about English for just a moment. The Bible's originally written, not in English, but in Hebrew and Greek and partially Aramaic. Now, how many of you know those three languages? Okay, none of us do. So, somebody's got to learn it. And guess what? The Bible's not going to teach you Hebrew grammar. It's not going to teach you Greek syntax or the meanings of particular Greek words. You might be able to figure some of it out by reading a passage in its context and things like that. But you're going to need to understand some things about language. And we need people who've dedicated their lives to learning Hebrew or Greek, so that you and I could have a translation of the Bible in English sitting in our laps that we could understand. My point is, we're going to spend time on things like this, and I don't want you to think we're wasting our time. We're not wasting our time. These things serve the purpose of coming back here and understanding the main thing, which is the Bible. Okay, so let's begin with topic number one. It's organization. Now, under organization, heading A might be terminology. How do we talk about the Bible? So let's think about some of the words that we use to describe the Word of God. Well, the first one is the one I've been using already quite a bit, and that is the word Bible. Where did that come from? Why do we call it that? Well, to do this one and the next couple, let's look at some passages of Scripture that will give us some background here and show you the roots of this language that's in the Bible itself. Okay, this one's in Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 1. Now, the word Bible itself, you won't find in the pages of Scripture, but the word, our English word Bible, has roots in the Greek language and in the Greek word for book, which you'll see here in this passage, Matthew 1:1. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. The word translated there in English as book is the Greek word biblos, biblos. And that ultimately is where we get our English word Bible from. It's just a word that simply means book or books. That's where that term derives from. It was originally a word that was used to describe the outer coat of a papyrus reed in Egypt. And they would use that to write on. They would use that as writing material. So that's where that word and that concept comes from. All right, number two. We call the Bible, or the Word of God, Scripture. Scripture. Where did that term come from? Where did we get that? Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3 now. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And verses 15 and 16. This is a passage that we'll spend quite a bit of time in, of course. This is one of the primary passages in the Bible that speaks to the inspiration of Scripture. 2 Timothy 3 and verses 15 and 16. But for now, we just want to get some of the language, the terminology of Scripture. We call the Bible Scripture. Why do we do that? Well, for example, verse 15 of chapter 3 says, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures." That word, Scriptures, is gramma. In the Greek language, it's a word that refers to letters. It could be a reference to actual letters of the alphabet. It could be a document, something like that. Let's keep going. Verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, etc. Scripture in verse 16 is graphe. Graphe refers to a writing, or writings. So the word Scripture literally means writings. And this is most often how the Christ himself, the apostles, writers of the New Testament, when they cite the Old Testament, they refer to it as the Scriptures, the graphe, the writings, the sacred writings of the Old Testament. So that's where that term, that word comes from. Scripture is the translation of a word that means writing. And this is a way of focusing on written revelation. We also, if you've got a particular copy of the Bible, like mine on the front says Holy Bible. Why do we have things like that? Well, it's because the word holy is added to underscore the sacred character and nature of the book. That this isn't just any book, it is a holy book. So a book that comes from a holy God. And you see that idea even here in 2 Timothy 3:15. Look at the top half of the verse again. And that from a child thou hast known the what? The holy scriptures. So that's where we get that idea of holy Bible, holy scripture. It comes from the pages of the Word of God itself. Third, another important word that we use to describe the Bible is testament. Testament. Your Bible has two basic divisions, right? You've got an Old Testament and you've got a New Testament. Where did that come from? Well, ultimately, that comes from the Bible itself. The word testament is a Latin word that goes back to a word that means covenant. A testament is a covenant. Now, to see this one, let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and we'll begin at verse 4. Excuse me, verse 6. Okay, Paul writing here in 2 Corinthians says, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, or New Covenant. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Now drop down to verse 14. And speaking of the Jews who did not believe, Paul says, but their minds were blinded. For until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. So you see there, Paul using this idea of Old Testament, New Testament. The synagogue, they're reading the Old Testament scriptures, or the scriptures related to the Old Covenant, what we would call Genesis through Malachi, basically. And when Jesus comes, Jesus institutes a new covenant. And so the writings of the New Testament are associated with that new covenant, and that's why we have a Bible that is divided into two basic sections, Old Testament and New Testament. We've got a number of other ways that the Bible itself describes the Word of God or God's revelation, and we'll talk about some of these as we go throughout the study. But of course, we call the Bible the Word of God because that's what it is. It is God's Word. The word of the Lord is another phrase that is used, the oracles of God, things like this. So there's a variety of different ways that the Bible talks about itself. The Bible will talk about what God says and what God reveals, especially. Okay, next time we will spend some time talking about, and now that we've covered terminology, we'll spend some time talking about organization. How is the Bible set up? Why is the Old Testament structured in the way that it is in your English Bible? Why is the New Testament structured in the way that it is? Where did chapters and verses come from? Things like that. That's what we'll cover next time.